quarter-final lineup is complete. The holders, Real Madrid, beat Atletico in a dramatic penalty shootout. We'll break down all of the action from Spain's capital. Elsewhere, Marco Asensio starred for Aston Villa to help set up a tie with parent club Paris Saint-Germain. Arsenal are through despite a 2-2 draw with PSV Eindhoven, while Dortmund turned their tie around to progress past Lille. So much to discuss from the Champions League round of 16. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. After a brilliant night of UEFA Champions League football as the round of 16 comes to a close, and you join us in the immediate aftermath of another Real Madrid success against their city rivals Atletico. Vinicius Junior and his teammates celebrating with real vigour down one end of the stadium, while Diego Simeone leads his players right now, commentator Jonathan Beck, of a lap of honour of the Metropolitano.
He could not have been more forceful in encouraging the crowd and saying, look, these guys are heroes, let's hear it, come on, let's give it. Showing his players, look, you deserve this, you need to go and salute the supporters. You have done yourselves and everybody proud. And they have, they really have. It was a strange shooter with a double tap penalty that was disallowed, a miss from Llorente who hit the woodwork. Real Madrid kept their nerve, but they too missed a penalty. We just about saw everything possible in a penalty shootout, apart from maybe a retake with a goalkeeper off his line.
European football expert Kev Hatchard is with us. Kev, extraordinary. A really dramatic penalty shootout.
It was at the end of what was a phenomenal tie over the two legs plus extra time. And I think Diego Simeone is right to draw attention to the efforts of his players. But I think he's playing the long game here as well. He knows they're in a La Liga title race. He knows they're still in the Copa del Rey. So he wants his players to get this adulation from the fans. He wants that connection to be strengthened because he knows he's going to need it. They've got a huge game coming up at the weekend in La Liga. They've got to take on Barcelona. He knows there's still a lot to win. They couldn't have given any more. They pushed Real Madrid, the European champions, all the way. And these Real Madrid celebrations are about relief as much as anything else. They didn't play badly, but they've been legitimately taken all the way here by an Atleti team that I thought were phenomenal.
Yeah, you could hear the players singing and dancing. Antonio Rudiger just scored the decisive penalty at the end, the last one out there in front of that travelling support. A reminder of the scores elsewhere for the round of 16 second leg ties on Wednesday night. Lille 1, Borussia Dortmund 2, 3-2 the aggregate win for Dortmund. Aston Villa 3, Club Brugge 0, 6-1 on aggregate. And it finished Arsenal 2, PSV Eindhoven 2, 9-3 the aggregate win for the Gunners. But first, as part of our big review here, Atletico welcome Real Madrid to the Estadio Metropolitano, looking to overturn a 2-1 deficit from the first leg. Jonathan, Kevin, we're on comms for this for Match Day Live.
But it's Atleti with the ball on the right-hand side and a chance to put it in early, and an early goal on 28 seconds! Real Madrid behind inside 30 seconds. Depaul with the cross. Is it Gallagher sliding in on the near post? Mbappe with the ball at his feet. Oh, that's a brilliant run, and he's brought down on the edge of the area, and that has to be a penalty. It's Vinicius Junior, comes up right-footed, he's put it over the bar. Oh, my words. Carlo Ancelotti can't believe it. We will have penalty kicks to decide who will face Arsenal in the quarter-finals of the UEFA Champions League. And now, it is a test of nerve, and it's Antonio Rudiger to send the holders into the quarter-final. Up he comes, right-footed! Oh, it's in! Oblak went the right way, but he can only palm it into the back of the net. And the champions have done it again!
They certainly have. They always find a way, it seems. Let's go back to the start of the game. A reminder, Real Madrid were concerned about an injury to Kylian Mbappe. He did start, played the full 120, scored his penalty in the shootout for Atletico. Kev, the inclusion of Conor Gallagher paid dividends pretty swiftly.
Yeah, because he was part of that move that led to his first minute goal. And what they did was they completely caught Real Madrid out, because they just launched this attack, went long to Alvarez. It was only half cleared, but they committed so many men into the penalty area that when Rodrigo De Paul plays a low ball into the box, Simeone at the near post distracts everyone. Conor Gallagher gambles, so he surges into the box. He's in the right place at the right time and puts it away. And what was really interesting about that is they got the goal, got the tie level, got the crowds involved, and then just went back to the game plan. When Real Madrid have long spells of possession, fine, we'll stay in our 4-4-2 block, we'll make it difficult for them to play through, but every so often we'll have a bit of the ball and we'll turn the screw and we'll see what they're made of. So they stuck to that plan pretty much all the way through.
Yeah, they made life extremely difficult for Real Madrid. How did things change, Jonathan, after half-time for the defending champions?
There was one rare occurrence, and we're just seeing a reminder of it now on the monitors, where Kylian Mbappe got space. It got a little bit more stretched. It became more end-to-end, not in a kind of harum-scarum kind of helter-skelter kind of way, but it just opened up a little bit. And Real Madrid's changes were actually really useful. Lucas Vazquez stayed wide a lot of the time when he came on for Rodrigo, and he saw a lot more of the ball, actually, than Rodrigo. And down that right-hand side was where they found a lot of space. And when Bellingham managed to find Mbappe, when he finally had the space, then he was fouled by Longley. And we saw that he was indeed fit, and he won the penalty that Vinicius Jr. then went on to miss. But I think after that, it was still a game where both sides tried everything, but I just think Atletico were so good at drifting across and stopping Real Madrid from doing anything if they weren't able to move it quickly enough down that right-hand side.
Yeah, the way Ancelotti changed it was sensible, because Modric wasn't quite getting in the game in the way that he wanted to. So they move Valverde from right back into that midfield area. Lucas Vazquez can play right back really, really easily. So he managed to make a difference. Brahim Diaz came on for Rodrigo on that right-hand side, and what he was able to do was actually get into pockets of space. Rodrigo was finding it really difficult to get any space to run at them. Brahim Diaz was coming into the pocket a little bit more, into the half space at times, was combining at times with players like Valverde, and that was starting to make a difference. However, the whole time, Atletico were just staying in their shape, doing that thing where they just jog across and then they jog across again and they keep on going and they say, OK, what have you got? So it was really difficult. And Jonathan's right. The one time, the only time really in the 90, that Kylian Mbappe has room to run, they got punished, because he goes on that slaloming run like a skier.
Amazing run.
I mean, incredible. Yeah. And that's what he's all about, right? It's that incredible body control he has. To do it just normally is amazing. To do it at the speed he does it, he's completely frozen both defenders. And poor old Longley, all he could do is just trying to get in his way, and gives away the penalty. And then Vinicius steps up. And what he's tried to do is he's tried to find the top corner. And he just gets underneath it. And when you do that and you try and make sure against a goalkeeper like Oblak, you're running the risk. And he just gets too much on it and it's over the bar.
How do we see extra time from that kind of point on, Jonathan?
Well, they both went for it. We've seen extra time periods where penalties seem to be the best option for one or the other. That didn't seem to be the case. And we said in commentary, it wasn't for the want of trying that they didn't really test either goalkeeper. Courtois was probably the more comfortable, to be honest. And Atleti shaded the first half in terms of chances. Alvarez with some good shots. Real Madrid came back a little in the second. That's in normal time. And then in extra time, they really both did go for it. But again, it showed just how good each other coach is at cancelling each other out. That the football philosophy that they both had, they both read each other's intents really, really well. And both sides were able to counter.
Talked about the changes that Real Madrid made. If you look at the changes that Simeone makes, Sirloth comes on, that gives them a physical presence in attack. He was starting to win some flick-ons. Yeah. Griezmann had run himself into the ground, so it made sense to change him. Brought on Angel Correa. Correa is the kind of guy that can come on and change a game. He's very good at that. Sometimes you get pro subs who don't necessarily start that many games. They're used to that sub role. Modern football is a bit like that now. It is a squad game and they're coming on as closers now, some players, and they could just see the rhythm of a game and change it. I actually thought Correa frightened the life out of them at times, because he's a direct runner and he's really unpredictable. He had a volley that went over the top. He had a run down the inside right channel where I still think he could have shot instead of trying to square it for Sirloth, and the chance was cleared. But both coaches, as Jonathan says, read the game well, tried to alter the flow, but I thought the way Atleti played with such control and such belief in their own ability with and without the ball, I mean, that takes some doing against a team of this quality. And that's why he was going around the stadium saying, look at what they've given you over two legs. This is worthy of this adulation, because they've missed out on what? A handful of spot kicks?
Yeah, and still in the title race in La Liga, yeah, of course, as well, 1 point behind the top two. Let's get to penalties. I mean, dramatic. We thought Julian Alvarez had made it 2-2, didn't we, Jonathan? And then there was a bit of a review around his penalty and it was disallowed in the end.
Yeah, I mean, he did really well to control the ball as he did. He didn't aim too high, obviously. I'm not sure what his initial aim was, but as he slips, it goes into the roof of the net. But crucially, as his left foot gives way, as often happens, it's a double tap. So your right foot connects with it. It hits your left foot, which has slid towards the ball. And unfortunately, in the rules, that's a double contact and it has to be disallowed.
I'm a little bit heartbroken for him because he played so well. I mean, the work rate was out of this world. And you've got to do that to be in the Simeone team anyway. You don't run, you don't play. He's just one of those coaches. But he still had the energy to be a threat going forwards. He's got a really good sense of space, which I think will have been enhanced by the work he's done with Pep Guardiola. So I really felt for him.
Jan Oblak so close to keeping out that Antonio Rudiger penalty that decided the shootout at the end. We'll come back to this game. Real Madrid will play Arsenal in the quarterfinals. We can see Fede Valverde pitch side now at the Metropolitano going through his TV interviews. As we mentioned there, Arsenal the next opposition, and we'll go to them next because PSV knew they had an almighty impossible job in truth on their hands to reach the last eight. They visited Arsenal having lost 7-1 in the first leg. Bill Leslie was watching.
Sterling turns it round the corner to Zinchenko. Advantage played. Zinchenko takes it. What a wonderful strike from the Ukrainian. This is Perisic. And PSV have levelled it up on the night. Good ball in by Sterling, and Arsenal ahead again. Declan Rice heads home. This will open up, and what a beautiful finish that is. Kuyat-Briak, confident and classy. And on the night, the Dutch level it up once more.
Yes, a 2-2 on the night, but Arsenal got the job done in Eindhoven. Raheem Sterling making a fine goal for Declan Rice, as you heard there, and there was a splendid strike from Zinchenko and Perisic. But crucially, Kev, I asked you, what was PSV's objective into tonight? They knew they weren't going to go through, and they gave an excellent account of themselves, far better than the first leg.
Yeah, and that's what Peter Bosz wanted, their coach, because he wanted them to be back to the level they found against Juventus over two legs. I think they did that. And, you know, to score twice away at Arsenal, to
some
not
great
lose
goals
a game.
On the night, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is one of those situations, and we're going to talk about Lille in a bit, where you have to take a global view of the campaign. They've got to the last 16 of the Champions League. Now, for a Dutch club, that is a big, big step anyway. And Feyenoord obviously were able to do that as well. So you're up against a Premier League giant. They knocked out Juventus in the previous round. I think they'll look at this and say, overall, we've had a great run. And it's good that it ended this way, so at least they come away from the campaign with a more positive feeling.
Yeah, their away supporters in North London giving them a standing ovation.
They had a great time, by the way.
They certainly
loving it.
And they love when Sihai Driouche looped the ball over David Raya. Brilliant finish for 2-2. Here's Mikel Arteta's thoughts on reaching back-to-back quarterfinals as a tie against Madrid awaits.
Well, that says the difficulty of it. So, yeah, we have to value that and recognize that it is very difficult to do it. We've done it consistently, and now we want to make the next step, which is going to be really difficult, but we are very capable of doing. And then creating an unbelievable atmosphere when we have the opportunity to play at home. That is crucial.
15 points behind Liverpool in the English Premier League. Realistically, this is Arsenal's chance for silverware this season. Still to come, we'll discuss tonight's other two round of 16 second legs in the UEFA Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Next to France, where it was all square between Lille and Borussia Dortmund heading into the second leg, Jonathan Pearce was watching.
First danger for Borussia Dortmund. David! Oh, it's in! What a terrible moment for Gregor Kobel in the Dortmund goal. And Lille are ahead on the night and in the tie. Oh, Guirassy, can he get there first? He has got there first. Contact with Meunier, penalty given. Given very quickly. Chan. Neatly done, straight down the middle, 1-1. Levels it up on aggregate, 2-2. Good change of direction, Guirassy. And the shot by Mark! And Borussia Dortmund are ahead. Moments after he missed a golden opportunity, there was no missing that. And Dortmund are 2-1 up on the night, 3-2 on aggregate, and they turn the night around. And it's Borussia Dortmund who go through, and they will play Barcelona.
They will. Jonathan David's early goal through the legs of Gregor Kobel, cancelled out by Chan before Bayer's tremendous winner. Let's hear from the player of the match, Emre Chan.
It's not easy against Lille. I think they are a very good side. It was tough today. It was not easy, but a big compliment to the team, how they fight, how they stayed together, and was very good today.
And Barcelona away in the quarters. What are your thoughts on them, and how excited are you at the prospect of facing Hansi Flick's side?
You play football because of that kind of games, and we want to go there, we want to enjoy, and then we want to perform, for sure. Of course, our aim, and now we are in the quarterfinals, our aim is to go through, of course, and we will fight for that, and then we will see what happens.
The person you heard asking the questions there was our reporter in France, Alex Clemenson. A little earlier, I caught up with him and began by analysing Lille's quick start to the match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they made such a strong start at the start of that first half. And I think back to that scramble on the line when there was perhaps seven Lille defenders on the goal line and they somehow kept the ball out of the net and you started to feel like something was really happening. You thought the footballing gods were in their favour. But I think ultimately the experience of Dortmund told in that second half.
Yeah, talk us through that second half. How did Dortmund turn it around, Alex?
Yeah, I think they just made a few changes at half-time. It seemed that they managed to get midfield runners that were causing sort of problems within the Lille back line. They couldn't sort of handle the inside runners, the runners from deep, Sabitzer, Brandt. And I think ultimately, as I've just said, I think it was the experience of Dortmund. They've been there, done it, got the T-shirt. And I think ultimately the youthfulness of Lille's side perhaps prevented them from finding that equaliser and going on into the quarterfinals for the first time in their history.
And with that in mind and some of the results they've had, how will Lille reflect on their Champions League journey?
Yeah, I think that's a major theme. I think Bruno Genesio, the Lille manager, said it ahead of kickoff in his pre-match sort of press conference, that they should be so proud of where they've got to. I mean, it's been a historic campaign for so many reasons. They've beaten Real Madrid, they've beaten Atletico, they drew against Juventus, that fantastic scintillating win against Feyenoord to finish in the top eight. I think they've created memories that will live long in the memory of the supporters, and I think that's almost bigger than the final result itself. And it's been an incredible campaign, it's been incredible to watch, and I've been incredibly thankful to have seen it unfold in front of my very eyes.
Alex, great insight. Thanks for coming on the show.
No, thank you very much for having me. Cheers.
Our reporter at Lille 1, Dortmund 2, Alex Clemenson. Niko Kovac hasn't lost any of his eight away games in the UEFA Champions League, and we can hear from him now, already looking ahead to his side's quarterfinal against Barcelona and facing someone he knows very well, Barcelona boss Hansi Flick.
It's nice because we work together. He was my assistant, and now we are playing against each other. So it's a great club. It's a great team. Fantastic football players. We are playing the first game away, so that means the second one will be at home. We need to get a good result in the first game, and in the quarterfinal, everything is possible. Everybody can reach the semi-final, and we are hoping and praying that we could be the one.
Niko Kovac speaking there. A reminder, of course, Jonathan David opened the scoring on the evening, and despite going out, he says Lille can be proud of what they've achieved in the Champions League campaign.
Tonight is hard, obviously, to think about that, but I think after a couple of days, a week, when we look back, I think we'll be proud of what we did in the Champions League this year. But I think we had high hopes to get through to this round at least.
And how much does this journey serve as motivation to qualify again at the end of the season?
Of course. Now we only have the league. It's very tight for the Champions League spot. So I think everyone wants to fight to relive these moments again.
Yeah, they want to be back. We'll see if Lille can return to the competition. Borussia Dortmund facing Barcelona in the quarterfinals. Let's move on to Aston Villa next, who welcomed Club Brugge to Villa Park with a 3-1 lead after the first leg. Here's how the second leg unfolded with Martin Tyler on commentary.
It is red, one long ball, and Sabah tested by Rashford's speed. It's an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. They're down to 10, Club Brugge, and it's put away by Marco Asensio. What a time he's having here. He's been on less than 5 minutes. Rodgers, and this another one, and it's Ian Maddison. Well, this could turn out to be a second half rout. Everyone wants to get in on the act. He's in behind Marco Asensio, waiting in the middle, and there he is, and it's three. He's got two of them, and this new combo for Aston Villa, Marcus Rashford, Marco Asensio, is lighting up Villa Park again.
They've done well, Club Brugge, in that first half. They had the majority of the ball and caused Villa problems, silenced the crowd. But with 10 men, it was always going to be difficult. And Marco Asensio, what an impact from him. With two goals in the space of 11 minutes after coming on at halftime, with Ian Maddison grabbing one in between. Asensio looking forward to facing his parent club, Paris Saint-Germain, in the last eight.
I'm thinking about the night today. I'm very happy of the victory. In 1-2 weeks, we have time to think about this game. Every detail is important. We have to dominate these things, to these little things. Now we are in the next round. We know that in every game is different. So we have to prepare and to do our maximum.
Kev Hatchard, what an impact he's had since joining on loan in the winter window. Champions League experience in that Villa team now.
That's exactly it. And as soon as Unai Emery was informed that they could get him, he said, go get him. Because he knew the quality he'd bring, the experience he'd bring, the standards he would set in training. And, I mean, how much narrative do you want? You've got Asensio taking on his parent club.
Yes.
You've got Unai Emery taking on his former club. And, of course, you know, he was on the wrong end of the remontada, one of the most famous Champions League results in history, when he was the Paris boss. So that is going to be a really intriguing clash. I have to say, Paris's performance over the two legs against Liverpool was extraordinary and was such a step forward for them under Luis Enrique. I think that's going to be a great tie over two legs. Two really good coaches trying to outthink each other, trying to outmaneuver each other.
And credit to Club Brugge as well, Kev, quickly, because they've got this far in the competition. Extraordinary achievement.
Immense credit. Absolutely. Because the way that they went through from the league phase, you might remember, you know, they were part of that Manchester City story where we weren't sure if Manchester City were going to go through.
That's right, yeah.
They played incredibly well that night. They nearly knocked City out, actually. And the way they played against Atalanta over the two legs, that's got to be the enduring memory they take from this. Because they went to Bergamo against a team that a lot of people, myself included, fancied to do pretty well. They wiped the floor with them. In Italy, it was a sensational performance. Lots of good young players, nice little blend. Nicky Hayen, the coach, has done an amazing job.
A reminder that UEFA Champions League Matchday Live is back on air from 8:45 CEST on Tuesday, the 8th of April, as the quarterfinals get underway. And these are the eight teams that will be competing for a spot in that final four.
Here comes Rafinha! From the Brazilian, and Barcelona have a 3-1 lead,
and it's in the back of the net. It's Harry Kane who bundles it in and surely wins the tie for Bayern Munich.
And Thuram, it's terrific. And Inter now start to think about their quarterfinal in this season's Champions League.
Due steps up and scores and sends Paris Saint-Germain through. They've won at Anfield. They're into the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
Good change of direction, Guirassy. The shot by Mark! And it's Borussia Dortmund who go through. 3-2 on aggregate, and they will play Barcelona.
Calafiore has another!
Arsenal have entered Champions League dreamland here.
And it's Antonio Rudiger to send the holders into the quarter-final. Up he comes, right-footed! Oh, it's in! And the champions have done it again!
So this is the lineup. Four brilliant ties on the way. And just under a month until we have to wait for them. Arsenal versus Real Madrid. Paris Saint-Germain against Aston Villa. Barcelona versus Borussia Dortmund. And Bayern versus Inter. Jonathan Beck, starting with you. Which tie are you most looking forward to and why?
Let's say Arsenal-Real Madrid. It's an intriguing matchup. Arsenal on their day can be really, really exciting. They proved that. Even without a recognised striker, people keep saying, are you going to sign a striker? Well, when you can score seven in Eindhoven, I mean, against a PSV team who are no slouches this season. Arsenal-Real Madrid, they've shown such fight and character and heart tonight, just as much as Atleti have. So that, for me, will be really, really intriguing, because if Arsenal get the game plan right, then there's no reason they can't, you know, hold them as much as Atletico have.
And it feels like if they get Bukayo Saka back, there'll be a different prospect as well. We know that Kai Havertz and Gabriel Jesus will not be back before the season's end. Kev, which tie are you looking forward to?
Firstly, all of them. Everything. I think I can't love this tournament anymore. It surprises me. Bayern against Inter, because that's a really interesting clash of styles. Bayern are very much fireworks, front foot, loads of attacking quality. Inter, a cohesive unit, brilliantly coached by Simone Inzaghi, top of Serie A, battling for the Coppa Italia. He's an amazing cup coach. It's a really good clash of styles there.
I can't wait for Paris Saint-Germain, Aston Villa. It feels so different. Obviously, because Villa are in the competition, but also that we have this new incarnation of Paris Saint-Germain. And watching what Unai Emery is going to try and do to stop one of the best coach teams around.
Yeah, and what's really interesting...
fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And what's really interesting about Paris is that I think some people will have looked at that Liverpool performance and thought, oh, OK, this is a team that's suddenly different, come a long way. Let's not forget, Luis Enrique's Paris got to the semi-finals last season, should really have got to the final. They hit the frame of the goal six times across the two legs against Borussia Dortmund, but they couldn't quite see that through. But this has been coming for a while. Yes, they've added new pieces to it. And yes, Kvaratskhelia, what signing that is. Joao Neves has been brilliant. But this journey's been going on for a while now. So it's going to be a really interesting tie. But Unai Emery, I mean, in Europe, we know what a master he is.
Let's turn our attention back to Wednesday night's action and hear from Thibaut Courtois now, who says Atletico's defensive strength took Real Madrid by surprise.
I thought that they would push for the second goal, but after I was surprised that they really just defended and tried to go on the counter-attack, what they did well because they had more chances than us. I had to make a couple of saves, but still I felt that... I think they were afraid for our counter-attack with the speed of Vini and Mbappé, so they didn't want to give space. And that for them worked pretty well because we didn't have any big chance. So obviously it goes to the penalties, and the penalties are always a coin toss a bit. And it was on our side again today. So very happy with the wins. Always a tense game, especially for me. But we stayed calm and composed.
Okay, gents, moment of the night, starting with you, Jonathan, from that game in Madrid.
Oh, it's a toss-up, isn't it? The from Conor Gallagher, which really sparked the tie into life right at the start, inside 30 seconds. But I think, crucially, the decisive moment is probably the Julian Alvarez penalty, which was and then wasn't, and then Rudiger puts it away. So maybe the turning point in the shootout is the moment of the night when the Alvarez penalty is wiped out.
And Kev, your moment of the night from the other ties.
I'm going to cheat and have two, because I can. I'm going to go with Simeone leading the crowds to serenade his team afterwards. I thought that was a phenomenal moment, really good man management. But from the other ties, Maxi Bayer, his winning goal for Dortmund tonight, because he's had a really tough season. He's come from Hoffenheim, rising star, really talented player, but it's not always happened for him. They've been inconsistent. He's had a few tough games, but he showed his quality
hit
with that
clean
goal. Yeah, really, really beautiful strike, and he's capable of that. That's the real Maxi Bayer, so that was lovely to see.
Kevin, Jonathan, thank you very much for your company this evening. It has been another cracking night in the UEFA Champions League. And don't forget, You can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every single match night of this season's competition. Matchday Live will be back on air from 8:45 p.m. CEST on Tuesday the 8th of April with coverage of the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. Arsenal Madrid, Paris Aston Villa, Barcelona Dortmund and Bayern versus Inter Milan. But for now, from me, Rod Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.